speak. Was it Barbara Brennan, Mike? And she interviewed Julia Roberts before me. And it was so funny because Julia Roberts, she's got like the white flowers and everything. She's really. And anyway, they had somebody there to make sure that she was going to ask me the right questions. But once we got going, me and her, he goes, oh, I ain't going to bother about them two. We were at it, we were laughing. We was, I said, look, you're going to do an interview with me. I said, I was born opposite the gasworks, my mum was a cook, and my dad was a blacksmith. I said, I'm not the seventh son of anything, I am nothing. And I said, I'm proud of who I am, and that's where I've come from. I said, I used to wipe my little brother's bottom when he was 40, because that's a little bit too much. And you know what? She said, you know what? That is the best interview. She said, we were laughing, weren't we, Mike? The tears were rolling down her face.
Got 25 seconds and the mics are going on.
So which one are we into now? You lead me into it.
So I'm going to say about you, where you grew up, if you like. And just say that short bit and then how you're now in, get to ground the Hale Clinic, things like
yeah.
that, okay? Mics are going on. So, Carol, simply the best Tina Turner. She's got cracking legs, isn't she?
Yeah. My legs are not bad either.
You're not bad at all, Carol. I absolutely agree. You're not bad at all. Now then, just give us a brief outline about where you actually came from and to where you've got to now.
Well, I'm proud of my roots. My roots, I spent from the age of three in a council house opposite the gasworks. And it never ceased to amaze me. I could never figure out how the gas omelet got bigger and smaller, you know. And it took me years to figure it out. Anyway, and so I've got four brothers. My mum was a school cook, and the school was just over the back of the house.
Did you go to that school?
Yeah, yes. And we used to eat. If we were late, she hooked us over the...
Over the wall.
Over the fence. And my dad was a blacksmith.
Okay.
And, you know, I had an interview in LA with a journalist who, the one before me, she interviewed Julia Roberts. And while we were sitting there talking, before she started writing, I goes, look, before we start, I goes, this is me, and I don't want you to pretend I'm anything else.
I know what she's going to say, ladies and gentlemen.
I said, I was born opposite the gasworks. I said, my mum was a cook, my dad was... a blacksmith. I guess we used to have stale cakes on a Friday night.
Why a Friday?
Well, because that was because at the end of the week they couldn't. We had the cakes that nobody else. They couldn't do nothing with them on a Friday. So we used to trot down on a Friday with their carrier bags, get the stale cakes, and my mum used to put them in the oven with a bit of water on, and you know,
pop pepper them up a bit.
God, and that was we were made up.
I bet you were, yeah.
You know, and so when I was doing this interview with Barbara, she, you know, I said to her, you know, I am not the seventh son of this. I'm nothing. I'm just ordinary person with a gift. Can I say about my brother or not?
Well, I don't know. There's no swear words, is there?
No.
So I think you could, because it is quite amusing.
Well, and I think I went over the line a little bit, actually, because I said, and my brother, my younger brother, I said, when he was four, because my mum was always working, I said, I used to have to wipe his bottom. She goes, I think that's too much information. You've got too much.
Well, we've said it now.
We've said it now. We've done it. But you know what? She said... She'd never enjoyed an interview. We laughed and laughed and laughed all the way through. And of course, so I worked my way up from opposite the gasworks to working in Wiltshire Boulevard with the Sikhs, you know, a real nice place. And I worked in another place in Virginia where the doctor actually came out and let me go in there. And
what were you doing work-wise?
What I was doing was I was doing mainly diagnosis and healing, and I was looking at people from a different angle from the doctors.
Yes.
You see, because where I am now, I've sort of outgrown everything, because when I came back from the States, the blood work was my baby.
Can you just explain that?
Well, the blood work, I just had this thing that the blood, the answer's got to be in the blood. I thought, it's got to be in the blood. And I came back and I had contacts in Harley Street because I was invited in through my abilities, not through my qualifications, through my abilities and loads of testimonials and the scientific testing. I actually had to do a diagnosis on the head of the institute with witnesses to prove that I could do what I could do. Mm-hmm. Because basically, I've had a form to fill in. What courses have you done? Not applicable. What this have you done? Not applicable. What exams have you got? Not applicable. And I worked all the way down. Not applicable, not applicable. And I thought, well, I'm just going to tell the truth, you know, because I say it as it is. But what I did have was the report from Denkai University with, you know, being given the rubber stamp by Yoshimashi and loads of testimonials. So I sent that to the Michael Endicott, who I got quite friendly with in the end. And he rang me up and he goes, my dear, he said, you're in. He said, normally, he said, you have to be tested by the body. Of course, me, I goes, yes. Yeah, but who tests the body? So basically, I got in.
And to do blood work?
To do the healing and the diagnosis. But it also led me into the doctors in Harley Street to get in through the door to talk about my blood work, you see.
Okay, and what is that exactly?
Well, basically, the sports injury, taking the blood out and putting it back to help the immune system help itself, has been going quite a long time.
Okay.
But my theory was, if you... Because this is what I... Well, I know it. I don't think I know. Mm-hmm. Each body runs on a different frequency.
Okay.
And if you think about it, the blood runs all over, all through
the body. All around.
Yes.
Yes.
And so the blood, if someone's got a tumour, I mean, it's not a nice subject, but it's a fact. If someone's got a tumour, once the tumour gets to a certain size, the blood signals, it starts signalling out to go somewhere else.
Okay.
So my theory was, if the blood was taken out, healed and reprogrammed,
yes,
with the messages to seal it off, you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore you're changing the messages, well then it wouldn't spread so much. I'm not saying I can cure cancer, because I can't cure anything.
Yes.
All I do is help the body to help itself.
Okay.
And so basically, each door led to another. But what happened when I tried to do the blood work in Harley Street, because I was ahead of my time with it, you know, we had to sort of hide behind the door, make sure no one was coming in.
Yeah.
And so then I thought, you know what, I'm still going to take this further, because I knew that the answer was in it. And that's why I spent a lot of time in Spain, so that I could
focus
and keep training my mind to go out and get further information. So where it is now, this ability, let's call it an ability, because I've got regular TV little documentaries that go out worldwide about my work. So there's always something coming up.
Yes.
There's always somebody sort of saying, oh, Carol, do you fancy doing this or this? But the blood work led me then to working. There was a doctor in Monaco, one of my clients.
Yes.
It's always one of my clients that drags me into something.
Uh-huh.
And she wanted me to work on a anti-aging stuff.
Yes.
And that led to me doing a trial with Dr. Depardieu.
Yeah, I've been reading about that. Which you did on? Did you do that on yourself as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
But what I did with the one, first of all, he tested me on the ability to see if the blood changed.
Okay.
So they took the blood, I healed the blood, it was taken down to the blood bank.
Yes.
Then in the afternoon, it was taken after the healing, and they thought it was two different people. The blood was so different.
Really?
Yeah. But they didn't tell them. What, you know, in case I thought, oh, my God, you know. Yes. So then, after that, you see, it's always I have to prove myself. I have to prove myself, and then it opens a door, and then another door.
Yes.
And then there was a girl, through a friend of mine over there, who'd got this really, really bad burn. It was so bad that she could never wear shorts. She pulled the saucepan off and it...
Oh, my goodness.
And they said, there's no more we can do. There's absolutely no more that we can do with this.
To repair and heal.
No, and apparently, with a burn, if it's left over a certain amount of time, it's never going to heal itself either. It's
okay,
not going to
be a scar completely.
Yeah, it can't. No. You know, so this was what Dr. Depardieu said, because that was one of his specialities, because he worked in France on research. On this sounds a bit morbid, but I mean, they didn't complain because it was on dead bodies.
Oh dear.
And apparently, no, they give permission.
Yeah.
Well, not the dead bodies, but you know.
Yes.
But basically, they give permission, and what they found was, if they treated the skin 6 hours after the person died, that skin would still respond.
Really?
Yeah. You know, with the treatments and stuff. Well, of course, I said to Dr. Depardieu, I goes, oh, that's testing my powers a bit too much. And he didn't get the joke. I meant, I can't bring back the dead. Anyway, so this burn victim, he took the blood out over there. I healed the blood with my mind, which I'd already proved I could change it. He injected it back into the leg. And as he got this leaded camera, which was taking pictures, chop, 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 and as it was going in, you could see it changing. And the long and the short of it, I think she had about 6 sessions, and then the last one I went over there to see him. And if you shut your eyes and rubbed your hands on her leg, you couldn't even tell which one. It was virtually gone.
Can people actually read this article?
Yeah.
Is it available for the
public? Yeah, it's on my website.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And so, but then what happened after that, somebody in the States, this is where we're up to now, somebody in the States, I don't really know how it happened really, it's like that with me. One minute we were talking, the next thing I know, I'm up for being tested with a thermal imaging. I'm thinking, how did I get into that?
How did you get into this situation?
I know, it always happens with me. Anyway, this is a proper technician, and this isn't somebody that's, you know, just gone out and bought one. This is somebody properly trained. It's all done properly. So basically, I had 3 people, and we didn't even know for sure if it was going to work, because don't forget, the first test that I did was from 6 feet away. This is 6,000 miles away.
That's amazing, really. Absolutely.
And I thought, because I do a lot of work at a distance, and I thought, well, if nothing happens, I'm not going to do it no more. That means I'm over the hill. Tina Turner. So basically, I said, right, let's see what happens. I said, I'm going to do what I always do when I do my work at a distance, which was the same. Off I go, get the energy, direct it. It's all about focus, because I'm really trained now to focus. Anyway, she took a little bit of blood out. I healed the blood. I said, you won't see anything happen on the thermal imaging until that blood goes back, which she rubbed into this guy's back. As soon as the blood was rubbed onto the back, the only way, she said it, the only way influence could have been me, there was nothing else changed in the room other than me, you could see the changes of the neurological network from the brain to the body. She could see it changing. But then, because the laws in the States are all different, I thought this blood work is going to cause a bit of trouble. I said, look, I'll tell you what we're going to do now. I said, I don't feel comfortable about this. I said, I don't want to be in prison at my age. And I said, neither do you. So I said, I think the best thing to do is not do it that way. I said, let me do it. I said, I'm going to improvise. I said, I've never done it before, but I said, let me take the blood out with my mind, take it off where I go, heal it, and send it back. She believed in my work, otherwise she'd have thought, cool, yes. Anyway, sure enough, I said, you won't see nothing straight away. I said, because not until I put it back. Sure enough, I took it out, healed it, put it back, and as I put it back, the changes on the areas that I was working on changed on the machine. So I thought, we've got lift off. We've gone on.
Listen, let me stop you there a bit and let's play another one of your songs, right? We give people food for thought and time to think about what it is you're exactly talking about. Money for nothing, dire straits, why? that's the answer, isn't it?
No. Money for nothing, it's a bit of a joke, really. Yeah. Money for, but in there, it's gifts for free, isn't it?
Yes.
Money for nothing,
yes.
Gifts for free. I've actually got a gift and I've worked really, really hard. And it's certainly, certainly not money for nothing. And it's just a joke, you know.
Okay, let's play it, shall we? You're all right, my phone's going like mad, I don't know why.
You see, I want to get onto what I... This is what I want to get onto now.
I want to go onto that.
You see, because this is leading me up to what I'm doing.
Mention Enrique.
Yes, I've got to mention Enrique, otherwise I told him I was going on the radio and I was going to mention him. How's it going?
Well, you're in charge, I'm talking.
I'm only telling the truth.
So where are we going after this then?
I'm
going to extend it. We're going to just go to about 22, all right? So we've got 10 minutes.
I think we've got...
Then we have to put the ads on because I haven't put them on at 20 past, so we need to...
I think we're going to focus on...
Right.
The changes now and how Enrique,
yes,
over here, I think we're going to
you've got to bring it to Spain.
Yes, we've got to bring it.
What? Which song is your last one? Do you want a Tiny Dancer or You Can't Hurry Love? I'll play one as you go in, but which one do you want?
Tiny
Dancer, yeah, okay.
That's about making it in LA, like.
Okay. All right then. Are you all right then?
Yeah.
So what question do you want me to ask you now then?
Say, because this is only, this stuff that I'm doing now, you see, it's going in the Psychic News.
You need to say that as well, you see.
Yeah,
it's going across.
You need to expand the blood of it, not just blood, it's a PR.
Yeah,
well,
that's what I've got to go.
Plasma.
Yeah, I know, but don't forget, you're talking to people. You've got to say it in a simple way. You can't.
I have been saying plasma to people. Like, the game said Damien, so you've got a guess. I said, plasma, he went, oh my, so people like that sort of thing, it's interesting. He went, yeah.
So if you're listening, what would you be like if you were listening?
I want to know about something here.
Yeah, yeah.
Something that is,
well, yeah.
Make it more
here, Spain.
Real, if you like.
Yeah, yeah.
Because at the minute we're in other countries and people will probably be thinking, oh, what about Spain?
Yeah.
They live here. I think. I don't know.
Yeah. But it is leading up to now, yeah, though, isn't it?
Research with Rick, isn't it?
Yeah. And so
we've got, yeah, we've got to get into that now.
You've only got to really have about 7 minutes.
Well, I can do a lot in 7 minutes.